Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good morning, everybody. I am Glenn McGeek from Lexington, Kentucky.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for December 15th, 2011, episode 294. Good morning, Horse World.
Good morning.
It's Thursday.
Kick the tires and light the fires, Big Daddy.
Your presence is required on the command deck.
Well, Glenn, you know, I must encourage people to think about one very important thing, and that, my friends, is pasture safety. I go out every single day, and I think of, you know, I've got some gopher problems, so I'm always constantly finding the holes and trying to, like, break them open and then to fill them in so the horses are out in the pastures and they have a lot of safety. You know, you mend your fences. All responsible horse people always make sure that their pastures are nice and safe. So what's the deal with people having giant holes in their backyard? Jennifer, if you could be so kind as to post the picture on Facebook that I found today about a horse in Colorado. This horse in Colorado, as they say it, a pregnant mare ended up in a 2-meter hole, has now been rescued in Pueblo County, Colorado. The Tuesday afternoon rescue was a joint effort between the sheriff's office, the fire department, the road and bridge, and animal control. Fantastic. They saved the mare. She is returned home and reportedly doing well. What the hell was this big hole doing in her pasture? People!
I'm looking at the picture. Oh, my God. How did that horse even get down? What is it with horses and holes? They just seem to be attracted to holes.
And the thing is, like, apparently, this small hole, it's about the size of a horse if it was rearing straight up and down, you know? And it went down into the hole butt first. So clearly, somehow backed into the hole, lost its footing, and slid down into the hole. How this horse did not break a leg, did not have anything happen that would be incredibly detrimental, is beyond me. But again, it begs the question. Why was there a big giant hole about the size of a rearing horse, you know, width-wise, in your yard, in your pasture?
Wow, that's some picture.
Was the
horse okay? He got out all right?
Apparently, they were watching her just to see if she would lose the foal. But I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to file a report. These people that own this horse should not have a pregnant mare. Imagine this hole with a baby around. Oh, be tragic, tragic. So I'm just mad. Funny thing is, the whole story that I found is about how fantastic the sheriff's office and the Pueblo County road and bridge crews that were called in to help out, how fantastically everybody worked together. And not one mention of how stupid the owners are to have this stupid giant hole in their pasture. I'm just irritated. I'm just irritated about the whole thing. This is not good pasture maintenance. And then to just top it off, I read a story this morning. I'm just venting. This is, you know, it's what's today, Thursday? Yeah, I'm just venting. So, Kentucky Derby winners strike the gold, okay? 1991 Derby winner Strikes at gold. 23 years old. He lives in Turkey. He's the leading active stallion in Turkey. He gets turned out in his field and breaks his leg. And they had to euthanize him. So very sad about him. He lost the, he came in sixth, I think, in the Preakness and lost the Belmont by a nose to a horse named Hansel. Very amazing horse. Nick Zito claims that this horse was his entire career, that the horse jump-started his career. This was one of the Calumet bred, son of Aladar, amazing horse, and he breaks his leg in the field. So that goes to show you that accidents can happen no matter where. And now, we got a horse that falls in a hole. I'm sorry, I told you, I'm mad.
Hey, I got another story. Speaking of Colorado, isn't that the place where the horse fell in the hole, Colorado?
Oh, yeah.
While you're at it. I have a much lighter story about a couple of guys who decided to take a trail ride in Steamboat Springs, Colorado,
last weekend.
And they started 10 hours. This was a 10-hour trail ride down off of Emerald Mountain they came. And they went to Steamboat Springs, and apparently they had a little too much to drink. Typical story. So they got, after they got done drinking, they decided that they wanted the Starbucks. They needed to sober up a bit, and they also wanted some snacks. So they took their horses and rode them into the Starbucks, up to the counter, scared the crap out of the baristas, and then they turned around, and they rode down to the mini market, and they rode their horses into the mini market, up to the counter, to get their snacks instead of getting off the horses. Well, they were arrested and fined and all of that stuff. And the one guy, 44-year-old, Michael Joseph Miller, said, "I had a great ride up till the very end." He drug his ass off the horse. They had charges including suspicion of harassment, disorderly conduct, obstructing a police officer, and resisting arrest. No alcohol was involved, of course.
Right. Yeah, I still don't understand, though, because they've got all, they actually rode into an entire grocery store, Glenn, the Safeway grocery store.
It's like a
Kroger on the West Coast. And it, the fact that they got arrested for harassment, disorderly conduct, obstructing a police officer and resisting arrest, if they had just quietly ridden their horses into the Safeway, do you think that it would be okay now? I mean, do you think they wouldn't have faced any charges? Because they didn't get arrested for riding horses into buildings.
No, that's true. They didn't. They didn't. But yet the sign on the door clearly states no animals except for service animals. Well, this is a service animal. That animal got them down off the mountain, right?
It was a service animal because they couldn't have walked because they were so drunk.
Good point. That's a good point. And, what you know, it does say that all they were trying to do is buy a bag of chips. That's all they wanted.
We had a good old time until we got arrested.
Jennifer, what's coming up?
On today's Thursday edition, we've got some great annual stuff to chat about, along with the usual, unusual collection of horsey headlines, as you just witnessed. To open the second annual Equestrian Social Media Awards, of which Hidden is a 2011 inaugural winner, I will say, are coming up. And the man with the golden accent, Liam, is here to fill us in on what's up for this year's awards. And next up, the 12th annual Snow Polo Championships are in the spotlight. They're being held this coming weekend in Aspen, Colorado. Everything you ever wanted to know about snow polo and more right here on Hidden. And to wrap up the morning, former intern Megan from the Chronicle of the Horses here with the lowdown on fashion faux pas for show hunters. That's going to be an interesting list.
All right. Thank you, Jennifer. It seems like we have a Colorado theme going here today. We're going to be spending a lot of time in cold, snowy Colorado. And before I get to my daily whinnies for this morning, Aubrey Miller already posted, too funny, Michael Joseph Miller was my dad's name. He died in 99 and never rode a horse, so I doubt it was him. Made Aubrey think, though, this morning when she heard that name. She's going, what?
Mm-hmm.
I have two quick Daily Winnies for you here today. The first one is a happy birthday to Sandy Sweet Lovato, Frankie's wife. Happy birthday to Sandy. And my second one, if you remember, Jamie, a little while back after the Tevis Cup, we had the girl, the lovely young girl who came in second place, Rachel Shackelford, on, and she talked all about her adventures in the Tevis Cup and what an interesting endurance race that was for her. And she was just delightful. You remember her?
Yeah, absolutely. She was the young girl that rode along with, like, the old veteran, the grizzled Tevis Cup veteran. And apparently, you know, after talking to her, she did talk about a million miles an hour. So I could just imagine that he's trotting along and she's trotting next to him. And then one time at band camp, blah, 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 blah.
Well, she's sort of become, she keeps in touch. And she's sort of become our adopted endurance rider here for the show.
Lovely.
Well, she sent me a note this morning. And if you remember right, too, I was busting her chops because she doesn't compete FEI. She just competed as an individual and not FEI competition. And we were busting her chops a little bit about that. And she kept saying, no, I don't think so. Well, I got a note from her this morning. She said, hey, guys, I hope all is well. I just wanted to give you an update after our interview. I am now in Florida and have been with the Reynolds. I took the offer and have been training up to my first FEI qualifying race this weekend. I will be riding Marvel, this year's Tevis winner. He will carry me along my 50-miler to complete my first one-star FEI competition. Wish me luck. Well, we'll see how things go, but I think I'm hooked on this FEI way of life. Cody, her horse she did Tevis with, she said has been doing great. The Reynolds helped me horse shop, and I was able to find Cody's cousin on the track and welcome him into the family. I have a couple of new prospects, and now Cody's cousin Cheeto has some big shoes to fill. I'll keep you updated. We're going to try and get her on next week to find out how her 50-mile race went on Marvel, this year's Tevis winner. So good luck to Rachel Shackelford. We'll be thinking about you and rooting for you this weekend.
Daily Winnie, just so I can give you an update, goes to We Miss Frankie. Now, We Miss Frankie was a horse that ran in the Breeders' Cup, has been just an amazing filly, and she didn't win her Breeders' Cup race, but she suffered a non-displaced condylar fracture of her right foreleg. Now, she immediately went right into surgery. It's because she stumbled out of the gate in her last race this past weekend. They had to put a screw in. The fracture was stable. They just decided that she can come back to work. She's going to be in rehab for about 45 days. She's starting aqua tread work in 3 months, and in 4 months they can start jogging her. So good news is they say she is going to be 100% fine. Yay!
Good job. Yeah. That's a good thing. Yay. We miss Frankie.
I was waiting for you to go, hey, we'll have to make sure Frankie Lovato knows, especially since you mentioned his wife earlier today. The horse was not named after Frankie Lovato, the former jockey.
Can you hear me okay? Jennifer said I just got really quiet.
You're kind of quiet, but just speak up a little bit. But hey, just to let everybody know that this week, tomorrow, is the last day for really bad ads for the entire year. So we are going to be giving away a $100 gift certificate to Kentucky Performance Products and the book text that we talked about this past week to the winner of Really Bad Ads. So get your Really Bad Ads in. I mean, seriously, it'll take you 5 minutes to sit there and go through Craigslist, and then it'll take you 5 minutes to go through Dreamhorse before you find a really bad ad. And like I was telling Jennifer, like I told you yesterday, you guys recommended this new website. I almost want to read it to you now just to give people a taste of what really bad ads is supposed to be. It was a newhorse.com. I decided that I needed to have some more students, so I asked you about advertising my business, and you said newhorse.com would be the way to go. So I look on this, and I'm reading other people's advertisements for teaching riding lessons. kind of see what's out there, see how people are wording these things, see what my competition might be. So I read one, and it was like the epitome of cheese. I mean, so cheesy. I was like, it was like, hi, have you ever wanted to soar without wings? Well, we can make all your dreams come true. Just come out here and ride our best friends. I was like, reading this thing going, I hope that only a 7-year-old girl is reading this, because that is the only person who would respond to this kind of ad.
Well, some people are into the whole touchy-feely black stallion horse experience versus the practical, sensible, safe method of, you know, learn your ABCs before you go and get your pilot's license.
But I'm an adult, and I would like to read about, like, if I was going to go get my pilot's license, I would not call the ad that said, would you like to soar without wings with the birds in the sky and fly through rainbows and have butterflies, you know? No, I want to go to get my pilot's license for somebody who's like, hey, we're going to do it safely, we're going to do it smartly, and I'm very qualified to teach you how to get your pilot's license. Not, okay, girls, if you like rainbows and unicorns,
get my pretty pony.
Exactly. Your little pony is right here waiting for you. It's like, you know, got rainbows on in its mane, and it's purple and pink, and you will soar without wings. It's like your very own Pegasus. That's not where I want to send my children for riding lessons. That makes me go, yeah, sure, go ahead and hop on them. Just gallop across the field. No, you've never ridden before. It's okay. It'll be safe. It'll be fine.
No, it probably doesn't say in that ad anything about riding a horse, does it? It doesn't say ride the horse. It doesn't say trot. It doesn't say steer. So they're really not going to ride a horse when you get there. You're going to sit on one of those little things you put a quarter in that are out in front of the grocery store in the 60s, and you're going to put your arms out, and they're going to put a fan in front of you.
I wasn't getting that at all. I was getting more they have unicorns and pegasuses.
Well,
they're going to be very disappointed when they get there and it's just a regular old pony.
There's like poop on the ground, you know, there's no rainbows and butterflies anywhere. It's ridiculous. Well, get your really bad ads in, and you'll get a $100 gift certificate to Kentucky Performance Products. That's a lot of joint armor, people. And also you get a copy of the book text. Or we may split it up. I don't know. We'll see.
No, we're going to split it up. We're going to give it to two different people. And something else that's really exciting that we haven't announced before, you have a couple of days, let's say until Monday, to get your voicemail in for our special holiday episode next week that we're doing next Friday. We're putting some voicemails together where you get a chance just to call in and wish whoever you want a Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, Happy Hanukkah, whatever. Just give us a call and leave a voicemail. We'll play it on the air. And we decided that we're going to pick a winner out of the voicemails. We're just going to pick at random out of all the voicemails we get. And that person is going to win the 2011 really big box of holiday studio stuff. That's all the stuff we have gathered for the year that we don't know what to do with, either from sponsors or the books, videos, T-shirts, hats. We're just going to send you a big pile of stuff. So you want to get
ahead,
your
You want to say it. You know you want to say it.
I do, but I avoided saying it because I want to offend anyone, because I really wanted to call it the big box of holiday crap. But I was afraid would think that I was sending them a box of manure, because that's the kind of radio show we do. But no, it's just going to be all this stuff that we've gathered. We have WEG stuff still left over here, T-shirts and hats. We have hats from sponsors. We have books. We have videos. Anything we want to clear out for the new year, we're going to send to you in a big box.
Let's call it the big box of overstock prize items.
Oh, that's
I like
stuff.
Crap.
Big box
I
of
like
crap.
For those
so
of you who aren't familiar with what a box of crap is, you need to go to Woot.com and you'll find out what a box of crap is.
Hey, so the number to call in and leave your voicemail to win your big box of crap, and I know we have Liam on hold, so we'll get to him in just a second, and he should call.
Are you kidding? He's calling right now. He's leaving us a voicemail right now. He wants the big box of crap.
I know he does. 270-803-0025. I'm sure that's really easy to remember. 270-803-0025. We'll post that on Facebook as well a little bit later on in the show so you can know what the number is to call to win the really big box of crap and leave a message. It's got to be a nice message. Rainbows and butterflies and all those kinds of things.
That's right. This is a good time for rainbows and butterflies right here. Yeah.
If you sing, you have a better chance of winning the big box of crap.
Yes, you definitely have a better chance if you sing. I would love to have a singing voicemail this year. And I tried to get Helena to do it, and she wouldn't sing. And so just somebody call in and sing. We'd appreciate
it.
It's okay. I'm sure that Liam is very excited now because he's coming on following our announcement about the big box of holiday crap. So, and now we bring Liam on from the ESMA Awards. How did we ever win last year, Liam?
I love crap. What can I say? Bring it on.
Liam, of course, is the founder and the host and all of that of the ESMA Awards, and he's going to tell us what's happening right now because there's an exciting announcement today.
Yeah, at 12 o'clock our time, which I think was 7 a.m. your time, the nominations opened for the 2012 Page Equestrian Social Media Awards via a Facebook app, which is live at the moment. So that's what's happening. Today is the start of nominations. Ah!
Are you there, Liam?
Oh, can you hear me okay?
Oh, there you are. Okay. So what Facebook page? Where do I go?
If you go to the Equestrian Social Media Awards Facebook page, on the left-hand side there's a tab which will allow you to submit your nominations. And basically, you have 9 days to select your favorites in 30 categories.
Okay, well, I'm logging in now so that I can do this. So where do I nominate us?
Glenn.
What?
Well, there is actually a category specifically for broadcast media, so equestrians in the broadcast media category. So I guess you fit in there.
Are we going to be in there with, like, the horse and hounds and horse and country TVs and stuff?
You know, David and Goliath type affair, you know? Why not this big?
I think, William, that they might be offended if you call them David. So,
of course. Clearly. Sorry. I apologize.
Are Goliath.
I'm sorry.
Well, there is an exciting announcement, is that we are also, we're going to do the awards show again this year.
Yes. Oh, thank you so much. That was one of the highlights of last year. Everyone was talking about it. And so I'm really, really pleased that you guys can host the winners again for the 2012 awards. That's awesome. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome. We're looking forward to that as well. So now you just go, this app looks a lot simpler than last year when you had everybody, it was your first time, you put this together, you know, fairly quickly, and then all of a sudden you said, oh, we'll have a couple hundred people maybe that'll write on our Facebook page, and yet everybody put their nominations right on the Facebook page as a post, and then you and your helpers spent the next 2 weeks trying to count them all because there were thousands. Nightmare.
It was an absolute nightmare. It was, if I didn't love this, I would have died. Seriously, it was a nightmare. Thankfully, this year, fully automated, so we don't have to do anything at all. It's in a nice big spreadsheet for us. So thankfully, there's no tallies this year. Oh, it was a nightmare. Oh, my God. Literally 2 hours every evening for 2 weeks. It was a nightmare.
Now, Liam, you talk about last year being a nightmare. So what did you do for this year? You just opened it up. You have 9 different country regions that are doing this. Southwest Europe, Northwest Europe, Europe.
So this year, you've got the 20 categories which are open to people from all around the world. But then in addition to that, there's regional categories based on the FAI's regional groups. So basically people can tell us who really stands out in the world of social media in their region. There's only one slight change, is that there is a region specifically for the UK and Ireland, because, well, the ESMAs last year were set up initially for just the UK and Ireland. So there's one specifically for the UK and Ireland, and then the rest of the regions are based on the FAI's regional groups.
Yeah, which include North Africa and the Middle East. I didn't know that in the Middle East they tweet a whole lot. Or Southeast Asia and Oceania. But the categories are great. And I'm just going to run them down real quick unless you want to, Liam.
Oh, you can go ahead.
Number one, one of the categories, you've got YouTube channel, you've got Facebook, and you've got Twitter, and you've got charities. Professional rider, amateur rider, feed company, publication, horse attire brand, rider attire brand, event or competition, talking animal, most informative, riding school, Saddle Ridge Hack Shop, best newcomer, blog, social network, broadcast media, and celebrity. So those are fun categories.
There's something there for everyone. So hopefully, you know, They will find a category in which their favorite social media activity fits. Hopefully. There are a lot of categories. There's bound to be one.
I just put Jamie in for celebrity.
You. Yeah, I love it, baby. I'm gonna put
in for
feed company.
And then it says because, and we're supposed to write in why. I just put she's hot.
Jeez. Ignore anything. Yeah. Liam, ignore anything submitted by Glenn. I'll give you his IP address so you'll know it's him.
Fair enough. The celebrity category was basically what we were thinking was we wanted to say well done to mainstream celebrities who promote equestrianism to a broader audience. You know, those who actually advertise horse riding as, you know, as a viable sport. You know, it's not just for rich people and little girls. People who actively, you know, promote horse riding to an audience who otherwise would not have any knowledge of equestrianism. So we were thinking the basis of the celebrity category is that they will be marked on, you know, when they're actually mentioning horses. If they don't mention horses, then, you know, there's no point in nominating them, really.
I think what Liam just said is you don't qualify. I think that's what he just said.
I mentioned horses. I'm just not a celebrity. However, what I'm getting from Liam is there is no potential way that I could nominate Leonardo DiCaprio and then interview him about his award afterwards. Is that what you're telling me?
You would love that, I imagine.
But he doesn't talk about horses, so we'll send out a press release. Leonardo DiCaprio rides horses all the time. Make it up, and then we'll be able to talk to him, Liam. We love him, don't we?
Well, Brad Pitt just bought all his children Shetland ponies, so, you know, there you go. He's on social media.
I'm nominating Carrie Underwood, and I'm going to find somewhere, somehow, that she mentions a horse in one of her songs.
I don't want to talk to Brad Pitt because I'm afraid Angelina Jolie would kill me through some sort of, like, voodoo doll.
Well, thank you, Liam. We appreciate you being on. Everybody, this is an easy way. I love this app you're using here on Facebook. It's really easy to use. So just go to Equestrian Social Media Awards on Facebook, and on the left side, underneath your logo, you're going to see all the little categories, and it's going to say Submit Nominations, and you want to go there to submit your nominations for whoever you would like. And I'm just saying that we probably qualify under the broadcast media section there if you'd like to nominate us just saying that we might have a little competition with a couple of the TV stations. Just saying.
Whatever. Well, you can take them. David and Goliath,
oh,
baby.
By the talk from Jennings.
Liam, we love you. We love having you on the show. Thank you so very much. And we will definitely keep everybody updated and keep us updated on everything going on with the Esmas. Thank you so much for doing it. It was such a smashing success last year. Equestrian Social Media Awards. It's going to be a fun time waster for people that have to sit in a cubicle, too. So keep that in mind, everybody.
Thanks, Liam.
No problem. Have a good day.
You have a good holiday, Liam.
Oh, thank you very much. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. I'm done with the show. I'm just going to nominate people now.
I know. We got to do that. I got to get done. I got to think about who I want. I got to put some thought into it. I got to really plan. And while you're doing that, let's take a little bit of a break for our sponsor this half hour, and that's NupaFeed.
NupaFeed Superior Supplements, taking performance to the next level. Does your horse lack focus and willingness to work? Is he or she spooky or nervous when you show or travel poorly? NupaFeed Magnesium Supplement for Horses is your solution for superior calming and focus. NupaFeed products are of the highest grade produced by a human pharmaceutical company, Verle Farm in Germany. NupaFeed supplements are now available for dogs at NupaFeeddog.com. Find us online at NupaFeedUSA.com or by phone at 941-921-1764.
They have some terrific products at NupaFeed. I know Dr. Wendy Ying uses their products for her horses, and she especially really likes their calming product or feed that they have, their calming products that they have. So check it out. Go to NupaFeedUSA.com. And while we're waiting for our next guest, I have and I know he was going to be traveling. The next guest is Barry Stout, snow polo director of the 12th Annual World Snow Polo Championships in Aspen, Colorado. We wanted to know that what the heck snow polo was. And Jamie wants to know, do they have as good-looking a guys playing snow polo as they do regular polo? But while we're waiting for him, he was supposed to be driving through the mountains of Colorado, so we might have to catch him when we can. I just had, remember yesterday we didn't get to do Crappy List Wednesday. So, Jamie, I have, and I promised this in our little promo today, that I was gonna make the day of all the horse husbands out there and throw them a bone today, because I have the 25 hottest athletes from the most random sports. That's right. This is the 25 hottest girls from the most random sports, and this is from Bleacher Report.com. So I wanted to go through some of these with you because there are a couple horse chicks in here. And number 25, and I'm not going to mention the names of the ones who aren't horses. I'm just going to go through them. I just run through them here. We have curling. We have billiards. By the way, there must be 10 in here from billiards. Amazing amount of girls playing billiards. The number 23 is none other than Chantel Sutherland of horse racing. And let me read what they wrote, Jimmy. A female jockey, a talented female horse jockey, a beautiful and talented female horse jockey. Chantel Sutherland might not be one of the many, but for being one of the only few female jockeys, she does a great job both on the track, and she looks good, too. So there's to Chantel. Good job for making the list of the 25 hottest from random sports. And then we have billiards. And then number 21 is a girl we haven't heard of. We'll have to get her on the show. Her name is Kate Thomas, and she's in equestrian vaulting. She's a vaulter. And they say here, after doing plenty of research for this particular article, I came across a sport that I've never heard of till now, equestrian vaulting. That requires a second take. Yes, equestrian vaulting. Kate Thomas is hot. This is a fact. But what you cannot see is how incredibly awesome she is when vaulting around on a horse. That sport is more insane than eating 3 scorpions at the same time. Plus, it's just plain nuts. So there, Kate Thomas also on the list, an equestrian vaulter. And then we have biathlon, bowling, believe it or not, skeleton. There's a couple from skeleton, which, as I can best I can tell, is a winter sport. You go downhill really fast.
Is it
billiards,
a winter sport? Isn't skeleton where basically people are on the street and they are on, it's almost like a little, I just remember this from the Olympics.
Oh, you're right. It's like
they're
an overgrown
like
skateboard that you lay on.
It's almost like smaller than a skateboard. I don't even know, but they lay on it and they go downhill and they have no protection, no nothing. There's no like .2 air vest to save them once they become apart from their skateboard they're laying on. It's a really bizarre, bizarre sport. And there's chicks that do that, and they're hot.
This one's hot, yeah. And by the way, there is a link in the show notes if you want to check these out, Jamie.
I want the listeners to see it. They need to see this.
Yeah,
junk.
Well, we'll post it on Facebook for sure for all the guys out there. Billiards. Billiards, curling. A couple of hot girls apparently do curling. Another billiards. There's more billiards than anything here. Bowling. Billiards.
Hold up. There are hot bowling. Chicks that play billiards. Because I think of people that play billiards as having, like, the smoke of breath, and they're drunk all the time, and their skin looks like it's melting off because they're in the bar. That's not true.
There's some hot chicks that play billiards. Yep, there definitely are. Bowling, I was kind of surprised at. This girl's kind of hot. Billiards. Long jumper. More billiards. More curling. More curling. Fencing. I dated a girl once who fenced. Racing, handball, taekwondo, and by the way, she's really hot, the taekwondo girl. More billiards. Now number two, hottest girl in a random sport is Biba Golic playing table tennis. Ping pong, people. Ping pong. And the number one hottest girl ever playing random sports is Claudia Toth, a curler. Wait, curling got a lot of press on this one. Curling and billiards.
Okay, I'm looking at these, and you failed to mention that, okay, the reason the billiards chicks are way hot is they're really beautiful Asian women.
Yeah, most of them are.
I didn't think that American women that spend all their time in bars would be gorgeous, but the Asian ladies are drop-dead gorgeous, and they play probably with a vengeance.
Well, I'll tell you what, everybody who now is really pissed because you're listening and you have horses and you also play billiards in bars, you can send your emails to jamie@horseradionetwork.com. And I got one.
I'm a reformed barfly, okay? I'm a reformed barfly, so I'm speaking to my people here.
I got one yesterday calling us out, an email. I got an email from Stephanie who said, "Hi, love your show." I always like when they start with "love your show" because then you know what's coming. The next line
but.
Is but. Exactly. And that's exactly what this is, but dot, dot, dot. FYI, any horse would be lucky to get a home in beautiful Minnesota. No flies or mosquitoes or other pesky bugs from November through April. Remember the comment I made yesterday when that racehorse was going to Minnesota and I said, well, too bad they didn't get to go to Florida? Well, we have a lot of listeners in Minnesota. And we love all our northern listeners. But the reason there's no flies or mosquitoes or other pesky bugs from November through April is because they're all frozen to death.
I know. They can't have them because there's only their life cycle would be like 12 hours.
So there's my list. We're going to post that link. Jennifer will post that link on Facebook. I think she's still trying to get a hold of our guest who's driving through the Rocky Mountains at this point. So I'm sure reception is not great. Well, I have another list for you, too, if you want to hear it.
Oh, please. I'm dying to hear it.
I know. I knew you would be. So let me pull it up here. This one's a little more practical and not quite as fun. It's actually going to be useful for you this holiday season because there are a bunch of applications now for smartphones, Android and iPhones, that are going to help you with your holiday travels. So let me pull this website up. This is the 10 holiday travel apps that everybody needs this season. And if my computer would cooperate, I could actually get the page to come up and I could tell you what they are. And most of these are available for both platforms. All right. Number one is called Packing List. You just search for Packing List. And what it is it's actually a program that helps you get a packing list of everything. Now, you got to be really anal retentive to do this, by the way. Of everything in every bag that you fly with. So, like, when we flew, we would put 12 pairs of socks in this bag, and you just list of everything that's in every bag so that if it's lost or stolen, you have a complete inventory of everything that you have brought with you. And we did have our luggage lost on the way to Norco, and it did find us there later in the day. But they want to so this is an app that helps you do that. I cannot, Jamie, for the life of me, seeing most horse people sitting down and taking the 2 hours it takes to write down every pair of socks and underwear that is in a specific bag before you fly.
Glenn, I gotta let you know that when I go to an event, a horse trial, you can go on to the eventing website and print up a list of everything that they recommend you bring. You know, like, oh, did you remember your whip? Did you use your spurs? I mean, up to, like, the most obscure, you know, alcohol for leg wraps, shipping goods. Every single detailed, oriented thing that you could possibly imagine is on a list at useventing.com. It's called the Eventing Checklist. Never have I once, ever. I've printed them up once or twice. Never have I once ever actually looked.
Never used it?
No. And I always get to a horse trial and I'm like, crap, I forgot my girth. If I'd only consulted with the stupid list, I would have known. But yeah, I think they, like Jen says, she sent me a message. They need an app for that. They need just the app for eventing checklist specifically. Because I'm not carrying around printing a piece of paper and carrying that around and making check marks. Put it on an app. Like that idea.
All right, the second one is the Weather Channel, of course. I think everybody pretty much has that one already. The third one is Flight View. Have you ever used Flight View?
Flight View, no.
It's
what
a
is
flight
that?
Tracker. It's for tracking your own flights or timing airport pickups. Flight View is the ultimate app for real-time flight information. It will automatically update you if your flight plans change or if your plane changes or it's late or whatever. But it keeps track of all the flights that are out there, and it's apparently, I know some people that use this, they said it's an excellent application. So, like we did the other day, you get off your airplane and you have a connector and you have very limited time, and you have to try and find one of those screens to see which gate you're at. Well, this actually will tell you what gate you're coming up on your connections and everything. So it's free, or they have a premium version at $3.99. So that's called Flight View. You can search for that one. The next one is Trip.
Are these all Android apps, or are these on iPhones too?
They're supposed to be on both. Most of them are on both. Some may be one or the other, but they were supposed to be some of them on both. TripAdvisor, I know, the next one is on both, and that's a very handy application for keeping track of. If you travel a lot, you probably already use TripAdvisor. If you don't, you should. It is when I worked for my brother, we used this all the time. And the neat thing about TripAdvisor is you put in everything from your hotel to what restaurants you have reservations at to your airline flights. It tracks everything. It gives you reminders. And you can share all of that with other people's applications on their phones. So, like, if we're going somewhere together, Jamie, I can put all the information in. I can just hit share. And then you get all the information about the hotels and everything, too. So that is one called TripAdvisor. The next one, and I don't know if you've used this one yet, is called OpenTable, and I know this is available for both. It has access to over 15,000 restaurants in the United States, and it helps you make your reservations if you're going to a restaurant that needs one. Now, I have to honestly say that I must be low class because I haven't been to a restaurant that has needed a reservation in about 2 years. So
I'm with you. I can't think of a time where I would be like needing to get sorry. If you'd only made a reservation at that table, I would have been able to get it for you. But now you're going to have to eat at Chipotle, which is totally fine with me.
Well, you know, this app is actually kind of cool, though, because it also has customer reviews, ratings, and it has the menus and restaurant summaries all in this app. So if you are looking to go out a little nicer than Jamie and I do, try OpenTable.com over the holiday season here. The next one, if you don't have you should. Go ahead.
I don't think you need a reservation at TGI Fridays. And
I
know that's one of your favorite places.
I don't. You know which one I wish you could get a reservation at is Olive Garden, because you can't get in the damn place. It's always so full. And I love their soup and salad for lunch. I just love the soup and salad for lunch. Gas Buddy is the next one. Number six is Gas Buddy. It's just all one word, Gas Buddy. And what it does is it helps you search for gas stations near you, uses your GPS and your phone, and it gives you the prices of the gas so you can find the cheapest station. So that one's pretty cool. That's a free application, too, called Gas Buddy. So check that one out as you're driving this. I'm going to put that one on my phone for our trip home to Pennsylvania over the holidays. The next one is called, now your GPS will do this too for you, so I'm not sure why this one's so special. It's called iExit, I-E-X-I-T. And what it is, if you're on the highway, it tells you what's coming up in the way of attractions and food and gas and bathrooms and everything at the next exit. So if you want to see what's coming up, it is all there, hotels, everything. It just lists the exit coming up and everything that's on it. So that's kind of cool, I guess, in a way, if you want a simple app for doing that. That's free, too. Let me see here. The next one is called Trover. And it's an exploring app that lets you stroll around town and see images that other people in the city have posted about places they went and things they did to give you ideas of things to do. So you can see pictures of a place they went or whatever, and you can go, oh, well, I want to go see that. This is really a social media app that probably sounds cooler than it actually works. Number nine is called Wi-Fi Finder. If you're traveling and you need to find a Wi-Fi connection, this has over 550,000 free and paid locations in 144 countries worldwide, and the app works online or offline, so you always know where you can go to get connected. It works through your phone's connection, so you don't need Wi-Fi to find a Wi-Fi Finder. And it's free. So that one's going to be handy. I'm going to download that one. And then the next one is Trip Journal, and it helps you track your route, and you can take pictures, and it records photos along your route, any videos you take along your route, and it really maps out your whole trip, and you have a photo and video record of your trip as you go. It also lets you keep track of, so it's like a scrapbook that lets you track your route, but it also shows you it on a map. So that one's free or $2.99 as well. So there's the top 10 holiday travel applications for your smartphone.
I'm trying to. Have you downloaded the thing where you can scan things on your phone?
Yes, and I tried it the other day for the first time, and it worked. And I found out where I was. The price was pretty good. Is that the one you're talking about?
Well, you just, like, it's like if you're looking at your little iPhone app, your app list, on the third, it says download or it says scan. I was trying to scan. I've been unsuccessful. The only thing I scanned, and the reason I downloaded it, because I was at Lowe's and they had orchids on sale and I didn't know how to take care of orchids, so I scanned the tag and it told me how to take care of orchid flowers.
Really?
And then I didn't. And then I didn't buy them because it was too much work.
You just saved an orchid from a slow, painful death. Good for you.
I did. You know, it's amazing. I try so hard. I planted some beautiful plants out front of my home, and they were like these big kind of ornate-looking, triangular-shaped, big, tall evergreens. And I put one on each side of our garage because the garage is the front of our house. And the one on the left is doing great. The one on the right died a slow, painful death. Like from the very tip top, it all of a sudden started turning brown. And the brown has now faded to about 3/4 of the whole plant is brown. Guess what?
There's a gopher.
Gopher hole.
Yeah.
Gophers! They're killing everything. I can't take it anymore. Sorry. Not going to get on that tangent. But, yeah, so good times. Did we ever get our guest on the phone about snow polo?
I think he's in Donner Pass. Yeah, I have not. I've so far made approximately 9 calls, and all of them say, sorry, no reception.
Maybe he's riding his horse into Steamboat Springs and going into the Safeway.
There's probably no reception at all in the Safeway.
Yeah. Yeah,
and I've completely, guys, lost my show notes, so I don't even. It's one of those mornings. So, do we have any other? There's some more news stories we had out there, wasn't there?
Well, just to let everybody know that Black Caviar, our favorite horse, who's won like a million races from over across the pond, is now taking a little bit of a vacation. Glenn, she is hanging out in a pasture with some friends. And she's going to go back into training. However, she is taking a lot of time off because there's been so much pressure. So she goes to this farm to get away from all the pressure. Apparently, it's natural and soothing at this facility, and it keeps her sane, they say. So her two best friends are Andy, who is a 29-year-old pony, and a goat named Billy, of course. So Andy and Billy are Black Caviar's friends, and there's a picture. Jen, can you post that picture of on Facebook of Black Caviar hanging out with Andy and Billy? And I'm going to tell you, Andy, for being 29, does not look too bad shabby. It's a little happy pony. Are you there, Glenn?
Yeah, Jennifer? Sorry, I'm here. Sorry about that. I was still. I don't know where Jennifer went, but
I'm right here.
I think we're having a. Okay, I think we're actually. I don't know, Jennifer, how yours is doing, but our internet seems to have gone to a crawl.
Yes, it has. Yes.
Yeah, and I can't. I don't think we're going to be able to post anything right now because I can't even get to the show notes to see them, Jamie. So.
Okay.
So you're
well,
in charge
you
of
mean,
news stories here. Yeah.
Well, that was the news stories. I think we should go ahead and play our daily song. Our song sponsor today is findajudge.com. That's the free resource for people to find work at your shows. Want to work at more shows? This is the place to be listed. All disciplines, all types of shows, findajudge.com is an online directory of horse show staff. Check it out today. If you are having a show and you need a judge or you need a steward or you need anybody at all, go to findajudge.com. And our song for the day today is by Dan Roberts. You can check out his music at oldbootsmusic.com. And the song is called The Hero is a Clown.
Cowboys have their own brand of heroes. Some are living in the shadows, some on the silver screen. They're tough men, straight shooting as a fence rope, standing rugged as a line pole, and few and far between. But there's a man you may not think of as a hero, because his reputation plays it down. But at a rodeo, ask any bull rider, he'll even tell an outsider his hero is a clown. The buckles and the glory, they're only half the story in the legend of the man behind the frown. He's as tough as any other. They trust him like a brother to risk his life to keep them safe and sound. For the bull rider, his hero is a clown. Well, don't let that painted face fool ya, 'cause he can sure enough school ya. He's been down the road from the finals all the way to Little Britches. He keeps a minute out of stitches, both young and old. So here's to all the boys that work the barrel, and all of you that fight 'em on the ground. When the dust clears, they mark the ride and the crowd cheers. It ain't changed in 100 years. The hero's still a clown. The buckles and the glory, they're only half the story in the legend of the man behind the frown. He's as tough as any other. They trust him like a brother, from Tidy Don to Jim to Freckles Brown. For the bull rider, his hero is a clown. For the wild bull rider, the hero's still the clown.
That is Dan Roberts, Old Boots Music, and it was funny, Glenn, because Chad, my husband, walked in behind me as I was introducing the song, and I'm like, and here's Dan Roberts with The Hero is the Clown, and it started, and I turn off my mic, and I'm like, good morning, he goes, somebody's hero is a clown? That's scary. Like, no, it's rodeo music. It's rodeo music, I swear. I guess you realize as a horse person how many things at times can be taken the wrong way. You know?
Yeah.
And boy,
if you're riding a bucking bronco, that clown is your hero.
It is. You know, I never realized something, and this horse people, once I point this out to you, you're going to realize how stupid this is. But there's things that my husband sees in the horse world. I need to come up with a list, a book. But the main thing that he really has a problem with is when I'm out jumping, sometimes he'll come out there and help me, you know, adjust fences, whatever. So he comes out there. And I say, honey, can you put that vertical up a couple holes? He's like, I don't see a vertical. I'm like, right over there, the vertical. He's like, that's not vertical. That's horizontal. Have you
that's
ever
true.
Thought
he's
of that
got
before?
A point.
How stupid are we? How stupid are we? But it took somebody with a fighter pilot brain that's outside the horse world to go, That's not vertical. I'm like, yes, it is. It's not an X. It's a vertical. No. It's a horizontal.
Well, Danny, I have a couple of Horse Radio Network show highlights for you today. The Western Radio Show is out, brought to you by Succeed and Team Canada for Road to the Horse was on. The two guys who are going to compete at Road to the Horse this year for Team Canada. You remember, they're doing teams this year at Road to the Horse, so it's going to be Canada, two guys from Canada, two guys from the United States, and two guys from Australia are competing against each other. So they're going to be doing that, and they talked to the two guys from Canada who were very nice guys and enjoyed listening to that interview. You can find that at horseradionetwork.com. And also, Chris had her USEA convention review where she had a ton of guests, including John Nunn, a bit of Britain, Brian Sabo, president of the USEA, Jonathan Halling, Max Cochran was on, Karen O'Connor, Mark Phillips, and the list goes on and on. So you can hear all of those interviews that she did while down in Nashville at the United States Eventing Association annual convention, and that you can find at Horse Radio Network as well. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenn the Geek, and I'm here with Jamie Jennings, who cannot be nominated as a celebrity because apparently she isn't big enough. And then we also have Coach Jen, who's over there producing the show today. And we're coming up to our regular segment where we have somebody from the Chronicle of the Horse comes on every week and does the Chronicle report. But there, Jennifer's getting them on the line here. We're sorry we couldn't get the guest on to talk about snow polo because right now is the 12th Annual World Snow Polo Championships in Aspen, Colorado. And, you know, it just sounds cold. I looked at the pictures, and there's these handsome, by the way, they're still handsome guys that play snow polo, Jamie. But, whew, it does look cold.
No, but, Glenn, I want to point out that the handsome snow polo players, unlike regular polo players, are wearing shirts. And I find that absolutely unacceptable.
Long johns. Long underwear,
yeah.
Yes. They're wearing many, many layers, yes.
They're wearing snow clothes, and I'm used to polo players in the advertisements having water poured all over them with their shirts off, and they're spritzing themselves with the cologne, and or maybe they're just sweating, and it's really not water being poured over them at all. They're sweating, and their hair is, like, in their face, and they you know, throw it back, and then they say something in Argentinian. that sounds like a
Spanish. Is that a language?
It's something in some weird language that sounds really sexy, and yeah. And then there's snow polo with lots
and if those
of snow
guys
clothes.
Are naked and wet, they're basically ice cubes. They're,
yeah,
they
have.
They're frozen solid. Yes.
If they're shirtless and wet, they have frostbite.
Hey, before I let you go with Megan here, from the Chronicle. I do have, well, let's get her on. She can join in on this a little bit. Hey, Megan, good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Hey. Megan's here with the Chronicle of the Horse, and it's going to talk her story here in a minute. Her and Jamie are going to talk about fashion. I'm going to be out of that conversation. But I wanted to ask you guys, you know that Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes are together, little celebrity talk here.
Oh.
And basically, they spoiled their daughter, and their daughter is 5-year-old. Her name is Suri, and she has asked for, now you guys sitting down, and I'm sure this is what your Christmas is going to be like this year. You're going to have a Christmas that is just like this because you have loving, caring relatives that are going to treat you this nicely. Suri has asked for $130,000 worth of gifts.
What? How did you? Yeah. Where's your source for this?
A reputable celebrity website.
Well, I'm going to look for it right now.
She's such a journalist. She's all, where's your source?
I know.
Like, none of your business.
Well, let me tell you what's on her list. The
here it is. I've got it right here.
The first thing on top of her list is a pony. That's the first thing. And she
also wants. Okay, keep going.
Okay, she also wants diamond earrings and beautiful gowns like a fairy princess. And it goes on to say that Tom and Katie love spoiling their child, and they're going to be buying her everything she asks for.
Now, hold on a second. I have personally worked in celebrity, that kind of stuff in New York, and I'll tell you what, I'm sure that, is that in quotes?
Yes.
That'd be in?
They are buying Suri absolutely everything she asked for, an anonymous source said.
So, yeah, but it's not in quotes. It's not saying Katie said that without a doubt they would be spending all of the $130,000. See, now, that is just to get everybody to talk about it, even people on horse radio.
I know, and I am, and she's going to get a $130,000 pony.
I doubt it.
Let me point out something. Y'all, this is a very reputable story, and I'll tell you why, Miss, I need everything to have be quoted and sourced. This story is on the prestigious websites such as MrPaparazzi.com, Jezebel.com, HollyScoop, The National Ledger, Mr. Paparazzi, The Daily Mail, .co.uk,
yeah,
Dramarama. Okay, it's on Dramarama.
Oh well, if it's on Dramarama, why was I even questioning it?
See?
No, I'm sure there's certainly. There's obviously they couldn't just completely make it up. Though sometimes they do. But I think she's adorable. The little girl is so cute. She really is. I'm sure that if you had that much money, you would probably spoil your child too. I just don't know if you would go, you know, out and spend $130,000. But then again, maybe they might. She used to come. I used to do some work with FAO Schwartz, you know, that big toy store in New York. And they used to have little private shopping parties kind of thing where they would, you know, Katie or Tom or both of them would bring Suri in. And that was a while ago. That was when she was like 2 or so. And she's a really sweet little girl. But
I didn't
she's
know
got,
we
she's
were dealing with somebody who knew celebrities.
That's what he used to do in New York. So now I'm dealing with horse celebrities, but yeah, that's the kind of stuff I used to do. But it was kind of interesting. So regardless, she's a fashionista herself. I mean, she could totally join me for writing, you know, fashion do's and don'ts. I don't know if she could join in the Hunter Ring fashion do's and don'ts, but she can definitely put a good outfit together.
We're going to get to the Fashion Ring Hunter do's and don'ts. However, I did now Google celebrity Christmas list, and I did find somebody very, very special's Christmas list. I mean, somebody that all the girls are just going to freak out right now. I found Justin Bieber's Christmas list.
Well,
Christmas list.
What does he want?
You guys, are you ready? Okay.
Yeah.
It says, Dear Mom, please get me these things for Christmas. Number one. Pajamas with feet. Number
she says
two.
What?
Pajamas with feet. Footy pajamas,
oh,
you know.
Okay, right.
Number two, those things that go in your shoes to make you taller.
Oh, no.
And finally, number three thing on Justin Bieber's Christmas list is some hair I can stick on my chest like a chest wig.
Oh, man.
There you go.
And Selena Gomez in a bow.
Yeah. It's just that's all I'm saying. That is the Christmas list for Justin Bieber. Okay, now we will move on. We will move on to fashion do's and don'ts in the Hunter Ring with Megan. Take it away, Megan.
Well, it's not as interesting as Justin Bieber's Christmas list, because that is hot topic right now. I'm surprised. I was just browsing TMZ earlier, and it appears that maybe he got pulled over recently or something. Anyway.
Oh, my God.
Yes, I know. That's the news. We did this a little bit. I wrote it a while ago, but, just in terms of the cycle of our web content, we just got around to posting it recently. And I think you guys probably recall my summer fashion, what not to wear, that I wrote earlier in the year. And it received quite the uproar from some of our readers. But so this time I thought, well, instead of me deciding what I thought was fashion faux pas, why not ask the people that are, winning all the time? They're at the top, or the judges. And so that's what we did, just kind of as we were interviewing different people, just even for, a story about them winning something, we'd throw in there, like, so what do you think is a Hunter fashion faux pas? And so that's how we got several different people to give their two cents. And, once you read through there, you realize that everyone really is the people that are kind of, that are at the top and they're winning, and the judges, everyone is still stuck to tradition. So, when we posted on Facebook, it certainly got a lot of comments. But, they like the dark jackets, and they like the, hunters have always had the reputation of it just being about, kind of subtlety and beauty and all that kind of stuff. And so they're sticking to, but people like to have an opinion, which is why, my introduction to the article was, in fact, that people like to have an opinion. So everyone, some of the things that they didn't like to say is a couple people mentioned fake tails in there. And people don't like the idea of fake tails. However, a lot of the big hunters you see out there, you probably don't even notice that they have fake tails in, but they do. That's why they look so good. Just part of the big picture, I guess. So those fake tails, too, will cost you something. I'll tell you what, probably about as much as my monthly rent.
Yeah, I don't even know exactly what it's kind of like a dressage coat with the long tails.
No, fake tails.
Fake tails.
It's fake tails that they put in the horse's tail to make the
on the horse.
Yeah.
Those are ridiculously expensive.
Yeah,
oh
they're very
God.
Expensive. But those are kind of, like what we would, hair extensions. So they, they put them in, they braid them in the horse's tail and whatnot. And certainly you do see some terrible, terrible ones. But, I think that the important thing to realize here is that I think Andre Dignelli said something about it, that he said he didn't want to send a horse in the ring without a fake tail, but that's also taking in stride that if you have a horse that has a great, gorgeous tail, there are some horses out there who do it, then there's really not a need for it. But, I think it's just part of the whole, you got to have a super brave job, you want your horse well groomed, you see those horses, how well taken care of they are. They're fit, but they're fat, and they're dappled out, and they're shiny. They've got great braids. They've got a beautiful tail. And really, they're the ones at the top winning, in part probably because, it takes the money to do that. But two, it's they're with the top trainers, and the top trainers know what the judges and everybody want, And so that's why we went and asked these people. So it's just an opinion article. Everyone can certainly, take it for what it's worth. But I like to have a little flair. So I'm not opposed to like a little myself, like with your rat catcher, a little like they have these cute little rat catcher pens that are tiny. They're like a little rhinestone. Like I'm not opposed to something like that. But I think that there's a reason why hunters and everything, are the way they are. They were rooted in the hunt field, and that was classic top hats, tails, dark coats, light pants, and
But we got to remember that in the hunt field, it just didn't make any sense to wear fancy schmancy stuff because you were going to trash it on brambles, burrs, muck, and mud.
So true. It happens to me every weekend. My dry cleaning bill is ridiculous.
But, yeah.
But
you would never, ever, ever, ever have a fake tail on a horse in the hunt field.
No, you're right. And I think somebody brought up a point. I don't know if it was on our website, if it was on our Facebook, but they said, you know, that the beginning of hunters kind of started in, you know, with thoroughbreds who don't usually have great tails. And so, you know, has that, if people are sticking with tradition, then isn't it funny? Oh, this is, somebody says, the hunter ring necessity when thoroughbreds who are the epitome of all that is beautiful in hunters have fairly wispy thin tails. And so that was an interesting point. Everybody, you know, everybody kind of takes a stance on it, and it's certainly interesting to see what people out there that are, you know, not everybody reading our magazine, or, you know, it's a very small percentage of people that read our magazine that are the people that are showing at the top and doing all that kind of stuff. So there's definitely some flexibility. When you're not showing double A circuits, you know, you can have a little bit of flexibility. But, you know, these are people talking at the top of the top, so.
Well, as far as the fashions that have been mentioned, I'm skimming the article here.
What are you opposed to?
Well, no, I'm not opposed to any of this, and I'm actually guilty of most of this, but I'm not a hunter, so like they hate the black plastic stirrups. I love my black plastic grippy stirrups, and no bling on your helmet. I'm guilty of all of this because I'm an eventer, and we're about as opposite as you can get. But I do agree with the gloves. They're saying always wear dark colored gloves. And,
mm-hmm.
and a dressage judge told me a very long time ago that if you wear white gloves, you better have pretty quiet hands.
Right. That's
and
true.
So it distracts and makes the judge look at your hands. And so I would, you know, unless I was like Philip Dutton and doing a dressage test, I would not wear white gloves for anything, you know. But for the most part, a lot of this is, I mean, I showed hunters for 10 years growing up, and I'm getting a little taste of what I remember because somebody even says they don't like the polyester coats, only this kind of coat and this kind of coat and then this color shirt. And I always felt like I was always chasing fashion when I was in the hunter world.
Well, that's the one thing that I remember when I was showing. It's been a long time since I've been extremely active in the hunter ring. You know, I did some equitation in college and stuff. But you do recall, you know, like, is everyone going to wear, are people wearing gray coats now, you know, should I wear a more green colored pant, should I wear a lighter pant, you know, you're always, yeah, just like you said, there are new helmets out, what's going to look the best, and I remember that too, and I certainly, you know, my family wasn't really involved, and I was not in the financial position that you're constantly, like you said, chasing it, that it is certainly hard to keep up with it, so, you know, but George Morris, you know, like I joked around about, you know, his book is the go-to for hunter seat equitation, and he says that regardless of a rider's financial position, that, you know, people can be clean and dress well. And I think that anytime you go into a ring, that you, for a hunter ring, a dark helmet, a dark, you know, a navy coat, you know, clean pants, clean boots, and a light-colored shirt, I mean, I don't think you can go wrong with that. You know, some people might show a little flair, but that is classic. And I think that reading this article, you realize that you know, you're never going to get, you're never...
You can't please everybody.
Well, yeah, you can't please everyone, but people aren't going to look down and say, like, oh, she's wearing, you know, kind of, she's classic. You know, nobody usually looks down on that. So, and you know, Julie Winkle, she said, you know, she's a traditionalist and she's that, and she mentioned, I don't like the new polyester coats. She said, but in the hunter ring, you know, she said in the jumper ring, do what you like, and this is just about, you know, just about hunters, and so you kind of, you know, it's the name of the game. If you really, you know, if you're choosing to do hunters and you're good at doing hunters, then you kind of have to, you know, there are rules to follow by, just like there are
absolutely
rules in everything
else.
I'm
not coming down on the hunter world. That's what the hunters are, and that's what
yeah.
people like about that, and so There you go. If you want to read this, please, everybody, go to cronofhorse.com. Check it out with Megan. She did the do's and don'ts of fashion, and it's basically everybody weighing in. So it's not even, you know, you didn't even throw yourself under the bus there. You let everybody else do that.
No, if anything, I threw myself under the bus because, as I was younger, I had a sparkle belt. I loved putting sparkles on my horse. I mean, and I still, like I said, you know, as long as the judges can't see it, you can have sparkles, and you know, I'm superstitious, so some of those things.
I'm waiting for the Western world to come into the hunter. I really am. The bling coats and the, you know, the hats with little rhinestone guns on them and stuff.
Well, you know, this is just not, we're just talking about, you know, like USCF hunter stuff, but if you get into the quarter horse hunter world, it's completely different. And it's fun. It's a whole different world because they definitely, you know, they certainly ride in dark coats.
They're
fun
to look at.
They're fun. There's a lot of sparkle, a lot of pink, a lot of flash. So.
All right, so here's what you guys need to do to not the quarter horse world. Just this is going to make you guys some money. Chronicle of the Horse is going to make some cash by making little bracelets that say WWGD, and not that's not the Jesus. It's what would George do? And if George Morris would wear that,
oh my gosh, that's a great idea.
It's already been taken. There's a whole line of bumper stickers and stuff that says what would to have those initials.
Oh man, well I'll have to work with George. I'll have to work with George on something.
Well, Megan, you have a great holiday. And
you too.
Are off, by the way. Let everybody over there know Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays from us. And you guys are good for the next couple of weeks because we're going to be doing some special episodes here coming up for the holidays.
So we'll
talk to you again
in
the new year.
Yeah, absolutely, and we'll be gearing up for Wellington and everything starting back again. So you guys have a happy holidays and behave yourselves.
All right, thanks, Megan.
Bye. Did you say that there's always what would George Morris do?
Yeah, there is. There's a whole line that we saw at the last A that we went to. She came out with a whole line of bumper stickers and keychains and things, and it was, what would George Morris do? The initials there. Yeah.
Forget them.
I'm not making that up, right, Jennifer? We saw that at the last show we were at.
Yes, the Horse Hollow Press, I think it is, that makes all those really cool little bumper stickers and tchotchkes. Yeah, she had what would George do? Mm-hmm.
All right, now, I'm going to get a little serious.
Why are you going to crush my dreams? Here I am making this awesome revelation. I actually get Megan excited for 5 seconds, and you just smashed.
Well, I'm going to go on now.
Carry on.
So sit back, relax a little bit, because Glenn has to get on his high horse for a couple of minutes.
Oh, Lord.
Look out. So, I am ready with the mute button.
Okay. So now this morning, you know, I look around Facebook. I have, you know, lots of friends that I follow their threads and everything, and I don't comment on almost anything unless it's silly and funny. I don't comment on the serious stuff. It's not something that I usually do. Everybody knows, has been listening to me for 3 years, knows that I'm not, I don't do serious very well. You know, that's not what I'm about. However, there was a topic that came up today, and the thread has grown to be about 100 posts now. And I'm bringing it up here. And what it basically was the picture of a couple of Amish buggies tied at the New Holland sales table. And then this whole conversation, and I know a little bit about this because I grew up in New Holland. I went to school in New Holland, Pennsylvania. I went to Garden Spot High School right down the street. I had an investment office next to, literally, the next building over from the New Holland sales table. So I saw the sales stables. I smelled the sales stables every day. We had friends that were Amish. At one point, Jennifer and I boarded Jennifer's horse at an Amish farm. So this whole conversation went on about how horrible the Amish were on this thread. And I just couldn't stand it anymore. I actually did post. And, you know,
where is it?
I can't find it. It's Camelot Horse Weekly is where it started, and I don't know how to tell you to find it because, you know, you have to be friends with whoever, and then you get this get to go in and make the comments. It was on my page on Glenn the Geek because I made a comment on it. But basically what I said, and it did, I was glad it sort of changed the conversation around. A couple other people started typing in. You know, my point was, there in any community, whether it's Amish or they call us English, whether it's Amish or English or I don't care what, there are people who treat animals nicely and there are people who treat animals like crap. I know a lot of Amish that treated their animals very well. They were all fat and happy. Yes, they use them for work. That's what they do. But then again, you can't tell me if you're riding a cross-country course or if you're doing endurance, you aren't working your horses. There are ones that treat them like crap. I will give you that. But then again, this week I must have read 15 articles about horses that were repossessed from us English because they were malnourished, they weren't fed, they weren't anything. So, you know, you can't just throw a whole community under the bus because of what you perceive to be the case if you don't really know. And, you know, that would be like saying that, you know, we happen to know that, and I'm just using eventing because that's a community that Jennifer and Jamie and I are very familiar with. There are some good eventing trainers, and then there are ones that treat their horses like crap and do things that we would never, ever do with our horses. Does that mean that all of eventing should be thrown out the window? No. So, you know, I always say this, and I said this to you about the carriage issue. It's a slippery slope. Once you start throwing a whole community under the bus, it's a slippery slope because you throw them under the bus. The next ones that could be thrown under the bus are the community you're in. And then all of a sudden, you're not allowed to have horses anymore. So just be careful with that. As far as New Holland Sales Stables, which is where that led, they sell a lot of horses for slaughter there, and Jamie and I have made our opinions very clear on that topic. However, you know, one of the things that Jennifer and I did when we lived there, around there, to help with that situation is we actually did something actively. We went and bought horses so they didn't go to slaughter. Now, that's not for everyone. I understand that. But people that can do that, my Lifetime Pony that I've told everybody about was one we bought for $100 there. Jennifer got some great event horses out of there. You can do something about it by adopting a horse that goes to auction. And I say that because that's really what you do. You're adopting, you're saving a horse. So there are things that we can do about it. And the thing that will dry up that market the most is if these horses have a wanted, loving home. That's what's going to dry up the meat market. That's what's going to dry up the auction, is if these horses go to a loving home. I'm done. That's all I wanted to say about the topic. I'll get off my high horse now.
Be sure to listen to all the shows on the Horse Radio Network. HorseRadioNetwork.com. You can follow us on Facebook. Just search for Horses in the Morning. We are also on Twitter at Horse Radio. And if you missed a live show, you can listen to the recorded version on our website, affiliate websites, or iTunes. You never need to miss an episode. We will be back tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. Eastern with a look at... Jennifer, help me out here. What's tomorrow?
Let's see. Tomorrow morning we've got... Oh, we're going to talk about some nifty new horse trailer technology imported from Germany.
Fantastic, Glenn. Love you. Mean it. Absolutely. Everybody have a wonderful day. Please make that appointment to spay, neuter, and geld.
I'm clear.
Yeah, you are. She's lost in town.